thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Okay, our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24. It's on page 1051. I can't read those fine prints anymore. Luke chapter 24. Follow along or listen as I read. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we have heard this story often. This is a central event of history. Through your servant Jose, please put the same type of marvel in us that you put in Peter. No other event compares to the resurrection of Jesus. Father, it is our hope for today and eternity forever. Breathe the unquenchable life of Jesus afresh in our hearts today and every tomorrow. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
At times can experience what I would call two different mornings. Just like the women were experiencing two different mornings. The women gathered all their spices. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others. They waited until the Sabbath was over. And early in the morning, before the sun came up, they started traveling to the tomb to finish what wasn't completely finished as Jesus was laid in the tomb. They wanted to take care of the body of Jesus, the one who they followed for all those years. The Jesus who had touched them in a very special way. In their mind, that morning is they were going to do it out of love to take care of a corpse. But then there's the morning after, where all of a sudden, that particular morning doesn't line up with what they expected. Have you ever gone through anything like that? Where you plan certain things, and you expect them to be a certain way, and all of a sudden, the next morning, it captures you by surprise. All of the planning that you've made all of a sudden doesn't work because you feel that someone has pulled the rug from under you. But all of this, and what the ladies show us, right, is they are to now live differently because he is risen. And the story that we are told through Luke conveys to us in our hearts, right, that we too are to live differently because he is risen. Now, you're here maybe visiting family, or this is one of those events that you mark on your calendar and you make sure you show up, right? And maybe you're still living as if it's the other day. God hasn't yet changed your mind and heart. Maybe you question whether the story that he is risen, whether it's true or not. But I'll say this, right, that these 12 verses in your Bible and in mine are the reason that we have a Christmas, are the reasons why we read through the Old Testament. These 12 verses is the gospel. But on that first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they've prepared. You can see where their mindset was, right? They weren't thinking of all the things that Jesus said. They weren't thinking that they were going to find anything other than a dead corpse. Some of the other Gospels tell us that the ladies were contemplating and asking themselves, when we get there, how are we going to get the stone moved away? Right? Because they would be unable to do that. One of the Gospels tells us that the stone was sealed with a Roman seal. So that seal would have to be broken. So they would have to get permission. Right? But it's the ladies early in the morning. They're the ones that have the courage to do what needed to be done. Nobody else. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. To picture the stone, right? The stone is like a period at the end of a sentence, right? It's dead, whatever's on the other side of the stone. It is almost as if humanity itself is having its final word as the stone is put in place. But then as they walk up to the tomb, the stone is not where it should be. Right? And here's the thing you need to always remember, right? Jesus didn't need the stone to be moved away. Right? Jesus, based on what we know of Scripture, could either spoken a word or he could have just walked through the tomb. But the stone was moved more so that the women would be able to look in. And the thing about the stone was is that the stone was moved, but also in place so that they would be able to see it. Now remember, they're still thinking, we're going to go and find Jesus and prepare his body because he's dead. Can you imagine as they peek in? Hello? Right in. And as their eyes get adjusted to the light, Jesus, who should be there, is not there. And the linen clothing are there. Can you imagine what was running through their mind at that moment? What would be running through your mind at that moment? Right? Because certain categories are not lining up. And what we find is that they, as they are discovering, they are learning to live differently because he's risen. And the question is, are you living differently because he's risen? Ask yourself that. Is your life being transformed by the power of Jesus Christ because of the resurrection? Or is he just a tag-along to your sinful life? Because everything that's in the tomb is our sin in representation. It is the thing that kills you and me. It is the thing that sucks the life out of your life and my life. And he gave his life so that we would have life. Are you living differently? Or are you looking for Jesus just to co-sign your sinful behavior? Looking for a way around. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? You notice the sequence? Right? They're looking into the tomb and they're perplexed. What they're seeing doesn't match up with what they know. And all of a sudden, the angels show up. But while they're there, they're frightened, right? Because their whole understanding is being realigned. You notice the sequence, right? They're perplexed, they're frightened, then they bow down. And it's almost as if when they are at their lowest point is when they are able to receive from God. And they ask this question, why do you seek the living among the dead? And it's not a rebuke, right? It's really a resetting of their understanding, right? It's because what they are experiencing isn't lining up with what they know. Imagine they're holding the spices to bomb Jesus' body, and he's not there. We actually waited in order to come. He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hand of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. Right, these three verses, verses 5, 6, and 7, right, are probably the most important within the 12 verses that we have. Because we learn three things, right? The first is the question they ask. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Right, it's... They had a category, and everything they were doing fit within that category. And all of a sudden, Jesus' event of not being in the tomb, of the stone being rolled away, of having angelic beings speak to me, and they ask, Why are you looking for a dead body while he is alive? He's not here, but he has risen. He has done what he said he was going to do. And all of a sudden, little by little, they start to remember. Remember the things that Jesus said. But sometimes in order to remember, you need somebody to say, remember? And here's the thing about the resurrection. It doesn't need you to remember for it not to have happened. Remember how he told you, right? And all of a sudden you start to reflect, well, what did he tell me? What did he tell me? Right? He told me that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful man. He must suffer, die, be buried, and rise again. Okay, he told me that, right? But then Scripture calls me to remember, right? And all of a sudden, as they're talking and dealing with the angelic being, they remember. They remember what he said. And as you remember, all of a sudden what you learn is how to live differently, how to believe differently, because he has risen. Remember when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember when he said, because I live, you also will live. Remember when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember when he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Remember when he said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to where I am. Right? That's John 14. Right? And in the midst of John 14, right, it's we have Thomas. And Thomas always asking the question you and I would be asking, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Right? And at that moment, Jesus would say, remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To remember, right? And all of a sudden, as they remember, as they contemplate what they're seeing, the stone rolled away, the tomb is empty, the angelic beings are speaking to them. And they remember. And as they remember, they, the women, become the first eyewitness to an empty tomb. It's at that moment when they witness that all of a sudden they have this need to tell. To tell the others. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Right. Now, these are women in the first century. Right. We learn that women in the first century, when it came to these kind of eyewitness, first witness testimony, they didn't hold validity. Right. They didn't believe them. And we'll see it in reference to their response. But where are the men? Right. They're grieving. They're upset. They're hiding. They are not where the women are. The women, right, it's like it's out of boldness that they go to the tomb. The men are hiding. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them that told these things to the apostles. Right? Now, when they heard this information, but these words seemed to them an idle tale. And they did not believe them. Right? They were still functioning out of their old mindset. Meanwhile, the ladies are now excited, full of hope, full of resurrection glory, full of what God has done. He has risen. The men are in a closed room hiding. Now, what gives the women this authority to break norms? Right? And it's everything we've heard up to now. The stone is moved away. The tomb is empty. They have received a word from an angelic being. Why are you searching for the living amongst the dead? And then they remember. And once all of those pieces fit together, it's almost like a lightning bolt that shot into their heart. And all of a sudden, they knew. And they were willing to risk everything to get this news out. But the men believed it to be a tale. It's the same information that the ladies remembered that the men had. And here's the thing about the message of the angelic being. They didn't give the women any new news. Right? It's everything that Jesus told them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter, he was there with the 11. He was the betrayer, the denier, the one who now has been hiding for the last 3 nights. Something about the information the women gave where Peter responds differently. Instead of him thinking, you know what, this is nonsense, For him, it becomes a sense of, let me go see. There's a sense of hope, second chances, when Peter runs to that tomb. And all of a sudden, as he gets there, he sees the linen cloth, right? And it's almost as if Jesus just stepped out of them. And he marveled, right? You can see his mind trying to remember, but he's not where the women are. He wants to get there. He sees the stone rolled away. Jesus' body is not there. And over and over and over again, this idea of the idleness of what this information is, it's the same thing that people use, right, to try to disclaim that the tomb is empty, and the reality is the tomb's empty, right? Here's the thing about people, right? People worship wherever God shows up. You see this in Israel, right? Every place where Jesus supposedly did a miracle, there's a shrine, a temple, something where people worship. Right. If the body of Jesus was found, guess what we would have? Right? Some place to go and worship. Right? But his body is not, because he is alive. He kept his promise. It is about the resurrection. Right? So when you and I say, I have faith, we are saying is, I have faith in the resurrection. Because if Jesus didn't come back, he would be like anyone else. It is about the life that he promises. And for you and I, right, it's without Jesus, we are people of the stone tomb. We are people of the grave, because that's where our sin puts us. We are people always looking for something better, because nothing satisfies. And when we stop and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden he lifts our head up high, above our earthly problems. Right? Let me give you news, right? Unless Jesus Christ returns, right, we're all going to die one day. Some sooner rather than later, some unexpectedly, right? And the only one that's going to make a difference is whether you believe in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's going to make a difference. And what you don't want is for that moment to escape you, where all of a sudden you think you have more time. Don't allow Jesus to find you preparing your own spices, where you're preparing for your own tomb. But live different, because he is risen. Live because he lives. Love because he loved. He gave it all so that we would have it all. Our lives are supposed to totally reflect a life of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to be trying to make it comfortable here, right? So many of us want to make it comfortable here with the things we have, with the things we do, and we go out of our way to have those things. And when we make so much about those things, we actually end up worshiping those things, right? And when I read scripture, our God is a jealous God, and He is the only one that should be worshiped. He should be glorified, right? Easter Sunday morning should not be the service between 10 and 11:30. It should be all day. And then after today, it should be tomorrow. And then after tomorrow, it should be on Tuesday. It should be on Wednesday. It should be every single day, because it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Live differently because He is risen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for all that You have done for us. Lord, we come to You with open hands. Lord, help us to put down our spices. Help us to stop preparing our tombs. But help us to live this life to its fullest. Lord, may we be like those women, where all of a sudden, they got it. Right? And also in the very Jesus that they came to prepare, they came to the conclusion, He's alive. He lives. He's risen. He kept His promise. He's God. He's our God. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.